Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mirazza. Happy Thursday to you. The first four out of the 12 DAs have begun. Plus, it's a Thirsty Thursday. It's the best of the DA show. Now.
Let us begin with Thursday Night Football, which has been defined all season by ugly matchups. Al Michaels being dragged to the broadcast booth by the smell of $100 bills. Come on, Al. Come on. I know you like this stuff. Don't look at who's playing. But I know you like this. I know you like the cash, the money.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
And tonight, the opposite. We got a good game. We got Bills and we got Patriots. Not only big time matchup in terms of rivalry, distaste, two different styles, but also we've got playoff implications. Right now, as it stands in the AFC, the Chiefs are the one seed at 9-2. They have a game lead over the Dolphins, who would be the two seed. The Titans lead the South, they'd be the three, and the Ravens at the moment still hold the tiebreaker over the Bengals. They're the four seed as the AFC North winner. The Bills would be the top wild card team at five. The Bengals, a wild card team at six. And the Jets at the moment, the final wild card team at seven. Because the Jets and the Bengals are 7-4. The Patriots and the Chargers are 6-5. So at the moment, the Pats are on the outside looking in. The Bills still hoping to win the division to at least get one playoff game in Buffalo. Tonight, Thursday Night Football from Foxborough. Who needs this one more? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
I mean, it's been put together the right way. They've got guys up front that can handle the run by themselves at times. They've got physical linebackers that play downhill. And then they've got a group of cover guys in the back, let's just call it seven, even that do multiple things.
You know, very dangerous out of the pocket. It's dangerous in the pocket. So, again, just team defense, you know, playing with our leverage, using our teammates' help, them being where they need to be, being aggressive. He's a hard guy to get. And you just can't stand there and watch him throw.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right, those were the two coaches, Sean McDermott, Bill Belichick, going into tonight's game. While the Bills absolutely need tonight's game from just a number of wins standpoint, and the Bills absolutely get all twisted into knots when they lose to the Patriots. We saw this last year on that Monday nighter at a windy Buffalo Bills site and home game where the Bills couldn't throw the football and the Patriots refused to throw and won that crazy punt-laden ground attack game. The wind game, if you will. Even though the Bills absolutely hate losing to Bill and the Patriots. The Patriots need this one more. They need this one more because they are, as I mentioned, still on the outside looking into the playoff race. And the Bengals are getting better. And the Jets finally found a quarterback, seemingly. And the Patriots can't afford many losses down the stretch because they already are trailing in the standings for the final wild card spot. So this one, the Patriots need far more. Now, if you look at two of the schedules, both these teams' schedules moving forward, the Pats do have a slightly easier schedule the rest of the way. For the Bills, they've still got two against the Pats, this one, and then to finish the regular season at home. They've got the Jets and the Dolphins, both in Buffalo, and then their two non-divisional games at the Bears, at the Bengals. So really, they only have one breather left, and that's the Bears game. The Patriots have two breathers left. They've got the Cardinals and the Raiders. They've also got the Dolphins and a game against the Bengals as well. And so neither one of those teams has a layup against Cincinnati. Now, who knows? Maybe Josh McDaniels taking on his old team, going up against his mentor, the Emperor Darth Hoodie. Maybe that's a stumble game for the Patriots, but at the very least, the Pats have to start getting wins and they have to start stacking W's and they cannot fall farther in this race. And so tonight is crucial for them. I think the fact of the matter is the Patriots are inferior to the Bills. I think that's just the fact. You can doll up Mac Jones's numbers all you want. And on Thanksgiving, he put up 380 yards passing. He got good protection that night. And there was a couple of calls that didn't go the Patriots' way. I'm so sad. The referee screwed us. I heard Patriots fans doing that. Oh, well, now you know how 20 years of everybody else felt against you when you got every call. The fact is that the Bills are more talented. The Bills have a superior quarterback. The Bills have better depth and better talent at almost every position. The coaching is what always worries me about the Bills against the Patriots. Because McDermott has had his pants pulled down by Belichick before. The Bills have had a series of calamities coaching-wise over the course of McDermott's career. And going into Foxborough tonight in prime time, do I love that coaching matchup for the Bills? No, I don't. But the last two times these two teams played, it was heavy advantage Bills. It was last year, regular season in Foxborough, redemption for the way that they lost in Buffalo. Josh Allen had himself one of his best games as a pro. And then the playoff game, which was an absolute destruction, obliteration, one of the grandest moments in recent NFL history, watching the Patriots get picked apart like a turkey carcass the day after Thanksgiving. But do I feel comfortable with McDermott v. Belichick if I'm a Bills fan? No, I don't. But who needs this more? Look, the Bills can lose this game and still make the playoffs comfortably. The Patriots lose this game and fall to 6-6. And still have another against the Bills in a trip to Buffalo. And also have to take on the Dolphins again this year and take on the Bengals. I don't like my chances. So the Patriots need tonight's game because 6 losses after tonight and then those 3 still to go. Bengals, Dolphins, Bills to wrap up the regular season. That's potentially 9 losses for the Pats. That puts them at 8-9 and that ain't making the playoffs in the AFC. Patriots need tonight's game more. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Yesterday, I told you about the Rose Bowl holding out because they wanted special favors, considerations, a nod to their history and their influence in the next college football playoff contract. Because they didn't want to move out of that wonderful January 1 late afternoon spot where the sunset happens over the San Gabriel Mountains and they get to do their sit on the throne as the emperors of the bowl season thing that the Rose Bowl loves doing. But they were the only hurdle in the way of expanding the playoff 2 years earlier, breaking the current contract and having the playoff expand to 12 for the 2024 season instead of 2026. Reports coming down last night, Pete Thamel, ESPN, says the Rose Bowl has agreed to the terms of breaking the current contract, and that would mean a consensus. That would mean college football can move ahead, and that would mean, huzzah! We've got an expanded college football playoff for the 2024 season. So that means only a four-team playoff happens this year and next year, and then we're into the big boy land of an expanded, bloated 12-team playoff. I said this yesterday. I'll hammer this home consistently. I'm not anti the 12 because I appreciate the access to a playoff and a national championship for more teams, more schools, more fan bases. College football's always been a really weird place where you kind of didn't know who was most worthy of a title because we didn't really decide it on the field, and there was only a small group of schools or teams that could really dream about truly winning a national championship. And so to break that open and really make it, okay, let's have a tournament here. Let's have a real tournament and see who's the best, I appreciate. But I don't think 12 was necessary. I think 8 felt far better. To me, 6 conference champions, the 5 Power 5 and 1 Group of 5 champ, and then 2 wild cards is about all I need to decide a fair national champion. For 12 this year, let's just take the top 12 of the college football playoff rankings at the moment. Yeah, you get your Georgia, your Michigan, your TCU, your USC. And okay, you can make the argument for a 1-loss Ohio State team and a 2-loss Alabama team. Do you also need a 2-loss Tennessee, a 2-loss Penn State, a 2-loss Clemson, a 3-loss Kansas State, a 3-loss Utah, and a 2-loss Washington? Those are your top 12 teams in the country in the playoff rankings. My guess is you'd say, no, I don't think we need Washington in this playoff. I think I could do without 3-loss Utah in this playoff, DA. Yeah, I don't think I need the loser of one of these conference championship games to necessarily get in. But that would be the deal here with the 12-team playoffs. So buyer beware, but we are going to get this, it looks like, in 2 years instead of 4 because the Rose Bowl has stood down. Stand down, Rose Bowl. Stand down.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember that the DA Show is always available in podcast form. Want to hear something again? Miss it the first time? You got it. Full 4 hours of the best of the show always available, plus brand new PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the podcast about the show. Soundcheck begins with Quinnen Williams, defensive lineman of the Jets, ahead of Jets and Vikings. Hey, Quinnen, just how tough is that quarterback on the other side of the field?
I think he's an amazing quarterback, man. He makes the throws. They got receivers that make unbelievable catches, and they run their offense well-oiled. So you got a great running back, great quarterback, great offensive lineman, a great receiver. So it's going to be a challenge and a great opportunity.
It's a lot of greats. Jets are in Minnesota taking on the Vikings. So if you're scoring at home, quarterback's great. Wide receivers are great. Running backs are great. Defense is great. It's a great team. And why is that? Are they, though? Are the Vikings a great team? I would not consider them a great team.
Kind of feels like two teams that are sort of mirroring each other this weekend, right? We're like, are we supposed to trust them?
Well, the Vikings are a better team than the Jets simply because they've had consistent quarterbacking this year. The Jets have the better defense. But I think that, yeah, neither one of these teams is a great team. I think there's only, there might only be two great teams in the NFL this year, the Eagles and the Chiefs. You could make the argument there's one great team in the NFL, that's the Chiefs.
Right.
If you wanted to argue that the Dolphins have become a great team, I'd listen. You could argue that based on the Bills' track record, they're a great team, I'd listen. I would not call either the Jets or the Vikings great at this juncture. Speaking of those Dolphinos, how about Mike McDaniel, their head coach? He was mic'd up on Sunday. And how about Mike McDaniel not worrying about upsetting Tua, going in on Tua during the game for his high school footwork?
I woke up like at 3 and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I was thinking about when you randomly hit me up that you're YouTubing me.
Yeah.
And so then I YouTubed you and heard and saw this Trent Dilfer thing showing all this high school from you.
Great.
And bro, your technique was trash.
Let's go,
B! You know what I mean? Thank God for Bev.
What are you talking about? No rhythm, no timing? Is that what you're talking about?
It was cool though, because you could see little elements of like your swag. But you were stressed out.
Woo!
Your technique was trash during a game. Mike McDaniel telling Tua. Footwork, technique, trash in high school. Remember in the offseason, we would play Mike McDaniel clips, and I'm like, I love this guy. I love this guy because he was the one coach that I had heard, the only one that seemingly had no ego whatsoever, that didn't have to prove anything to anyone. I mean, Sean McVay, who wants to be Boy Wonder, has to recite every play he's called since 2017, always needed to prove how smart he is. All these guys. We're going to do it this way, my way, build a culture. I'm going to call this play. We got this schematic advantage here. This is what we do. This is how we do it. I mean, does anybody have a bigger ego than Matt Rhule, who's accomplished nothing in the NFL? I mean, super ego. And Mike McDaniel never had any of that. And he just was completely self-effacing. He was just completely, totally normal. He had a good sense of humor, and it wasn't like football was life or death. He had some levity. I'm like, I love this guy. I love this guy. And I said, he will connect with players differently than any other coach in the NFL will connect because he's real. There's no pomp. There's no circumstance. There's no bluster. There's no this is life or death. I could have never expected it to be this good, but there you go is a good example. In the middle of a game, we all thought that Tua was mentally fragile and he was soft. And I said all those things. I'm still saying those things. But here's Mike McDaniel in the middle of a game tweaking his quarterback about how his footwork used to be trash. And specifically that quarterback. I think that's the type of thing that makes Tua trust Mike McDaniel. McDaniel's not doing that to tear him down. He's not doing that to put himself up on a pedestal. He's doing it to release the pressure. He's doing it to make it seem like, hey, we're buds here. And so you can trust me when I tell you you need to do this, you know it's coming from a good place. Now, it also helps that you have a 30-point lead against the Texans. So that's a good game to do that in. That's not in Buffalo. That's not playing the Patriots, but still, that's a great moment. It's a very insightful moment about why it's working in Miami. And the best thing that ever happened to the Dolphins was Sean Payton not taking that job, meaning Mike McDaniel was the head coach. And finally, speaking of Matt Rhule, victory tour time for Matt Rhule. Dude, you sucked for 3 years in Carolina, run out on a rail from the Panthers. But now you got a new job and suddenly it's victory lap time. I'm doing Good Morning Football. I'm doing Gelb's show on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, I'm here. I was awesome. Remember, once upon a time, I was awesome. Remember Baylor? Remember Temple? I'm awesome. Don't forget that. So last night, here's Zach, and Mraz dug up a clip of Gelb reminding everybody that those two guys are BFFs.
You've always had the unique ability to find the guy that was overlooked and someone that wasn't properly rated, and not only know that they're going to be good, but then develop them. Like, I'll never forget when I went to one of those cold practices in the middle of winter, coming out of a fraternity house, probably a little hungover for being real, but you invited me down to practice. And you told me, watch Hassan Reddick. Hassan Reddick's going to be great. And then the next 2 years, you saw him develop and eventually become a first round pick. And he was a walk on at Temple. How do you continue to develop these guys that are overlooked and may not have the most stars attached to their name?
Yeah, you know, we just try to find guys with traits.
Now, finding those diamonds in the rough, does that include anybody on the Panthers?
Exactly! That's his calling card based on what? P.J. Walker wasn't that in the NFL.
Now, Matt, you've always had this wonderful ability to find guys a little under the radar, maybe didn't have the most stars attached to their name, and you always had this innate ability to mess up the quarterback position. Can you tell us how you got so little out of Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, P.J. Walker, Cam Newton? How is it possible that you got just so little production out of the quarterback position from so many different guys? That's really an incredible talent that you have.
Hey, Matt, you had Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore, and yet we continue to be one of the worst offenses in football.
It should be noted that not only did Rule jump on Gelb's show, which is a good get, by the way. I mean, that's cool for CBS Sports Radio to have Rule on the show or on the network. So that's a good spot. But he's also doing this victory tour. He was on with Peter Schrager as well.
Yeah.
From Good Morning Football. He was on Good Morning Football a week and a half ago or so, 2 weeks ago. And we're going to play some more of Matt Rule from Schrager's podcast coming up here later on in the program. But the moment Matt Rule has a decent job, the moment he gets hired, suddenly it's, hey, book those spots. Book those interview spots. Get them out there. Get them out there. So, Matt, I know that somehow you saw the greatness from Hassan Reddick, but how were you so bad at getting so little production out of the quarterback position? And just a quick question here. Somehow you built Baylor and you built Temple into competitive winners. And by year three, you were probably worse as a Panthers team than you were in year one. How does that happen? Tell me the secret here behind taking a Panthers team and making it worse. Oh, and one more question, Matt. What do you think is the secret sauce to Steve Wilkes' success this year after he replaced you? Seems like they actually want to play for their head coach now. They're playing with effort and desire. They beat the Buccaneers pretty handily. The Panthers actually have juice now. After you left, what do you think that can be credited to? That you kind of suck? Oh, and Matt, one other question. Will you be available to park cars in the Bob's Bar Show? And that is your sound check. Gelb has brought this up, and other listeners have brought this up as well. The bet on the line for the Bob's Bar Show coming up in May is that the loser of the Mraz versus Gelb picks has to dress up as Matt Rule. Just stupid and humiliating, but of course. And the question is it Matt Rule Panthers or is it Matt Rule Huskers? Which Matt Rule do you have to dress up as? If Gelb loses, he's got to be dressed up as Matt Rule and park everybody's car, including yours, the listeners, Dan in Mechanicsburg's overheating Thunderbird. He's going to have to take and park down the street.
I was going to add about Dan.
While he wears a P.J. Walker jersey.
if Mraz loses, he's going to be dressed up as Matt Rhule and get down in all fours as we paddle him, I think, or play pin the tail on the oinker.
Yeah, I think you're pinning tails
on
my rumpus.
I want to see Dan from Mechanicsburg dress as different head coaches. You know, we went through the outfit changes. Yeah. So, like, hour one, he could be Jim Tressel with the sweater vest. Hour two, Bobby Petrino with the neck brace. Like, he just does that hourly.
That could be
a good bit.
But which Rhule is it going to be?
So I kind of have always thought this. It should be Rhule of your choice.
Oh, is that right?
Where we don't know what
Rhule. Spin the wheel of Rhule?
Yeah, we don't know what Rhule is walking through the door. The only caveat I would say is it's probably a little lazy if Gelb comes as Temple Rhule because he's got a million temple items and stuff. But I think whatever Rhule you should choose, you should choose.
Mraz, you'd look cute in Carolina blue, I think.
Yeah, I mean, again, I haven't fully thought about this, but I would probably go Panthers Rhule, but I don't think it's crazy to go Nebraska or Baylor Rhule.
I like Panthers Rhule because it's the most desperate of the rules. It's the saddest of the rules. He always seemed disheveled, 5 o'clock shadow, rumpled shirt. I like that Rhule the best. Wondering why the hell his team sucked so bad.
Sitting in the corner drinking alone. Just nursing that warm Budweiser.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some
booskies. This is always a fun segment of the week. We look at something that's making us feel good and do well. We're toasting to the good stuff. And so let me know what you're toasting to by hitting me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. Mraz, who are you toasting to?
DA, this also could double as a gift idea ahead of the holidays, but I am toasting to my weighted blanket. Okay, I got one around the holidays last year, and I was a little skeptical. What is this? But for somebody with a lack of sleep like we all have, this weighted blanket, when it's cold out, you lay it over the other blanket you have, and it's just this calmness. It puts me to sleep a lot quicker, and I've noticed since it got cold the last couple of weeks, I went back to my old weighted blankie, and I snuggle up under it.
Yeah,
it like keeps me in this nice, warm, weighted cocoon, and I feel like my 5 hours sleep is starting to feel like 7 hours sleep as a result of the weighted blanket.
Wow.
And I noticed this last year, and I normally don't do it over the summer because it's hot. You know, it's too short for me to do as just a standalone blanket, like a window. It's, you know, I need a double dip. But anyway, this blanket, now that it's cold out, I'm reminded these weighted blankets are great. And just a gift idea. I'm toasting to it, baby. I'm getting better sleep now because of it.
Okay, toast to the weighted blanket.
Booskies!
Now, your wife, Danielle, she likes when it's cold in the room, right? So she blares the AC.
Yes, normally. However, even she's starting to get older. I've noticed the last couple of weeks, we don't have the fan on right now. So the problem is we'll just shut down the actual heat in our room while the heat's on in the rest of the house. So we're getting a little bit of a compromise here, but I think it's getting better.
Because you got sick from that for a couple of weeks.
Oh, the cold air blowing down. Like, she'll have the AC blaring in October, let's say, and it's just in my mouth. And we have, like, one of those units right above my head, like one of those ductless things, and it's just blowing. Like that. But luckily, no. Now we've shut down that unit.
Okay. Billy Jock alone is in for Pete the Body today. Billy Jock, welcome aboard.
What's up, DA?
What's going on? And what are you toasting to?
So you know what? I actually was thinking about this before, and I was talking to Mraz about it. I'm toasting to working on the show today, and here's why.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, I come in, I do the minutes, not downgrading our sports minutes here at CBS Sports Radio, but it's very mundane, as they say. Very, you know, it's the same old routine.
Yep.
You're sitting out there in the newsroom. But today I woke up and I said, you know what? I'm doing something important.
You got some juice.
Got a little juice. Right. You cracked the window in the car. You got a little breeze coming in. You feel like a normal person. So I'm gonna go with that.
All right. Booskies to the call up for Billy Jock, run of the board today. I love it. Greg Caserta is in for Bogues. Gerg Casella, what are you toasting to?
I'm actually going to toast an establishment not too far from my house, the Capitol Grill in Paramus, New Jersey.
Great spot.
Because
I don't know that one specifically, but I've gone to the Capitol Grill a couple times.
It's always good. We got a group of guys going tonight. Me, my brother, my dad, and a couple of family friends. We always do like a holiday boys' dinner. And it's always a great time there.
Mm-hmm.
The food is fantastic. The staff is great. $25 corkage fee for wine, so they don't really hit you over the head with that.
Good steak at Capitol Grill.
Steak's really good, and for the dessert lover, the banana cream pie there.
Oh, is that right?
Is off the charts.
Is
good.
That right?
Yeah.
Okay, toast to the boys' holiday dinner at Capitol Grill. Capitol Grill, the one in Kansas City, down to the plaza, which is where I lived when I lived in Kansas City. I used to frequent, and that was the first place I ever tried the vodka-infused pineapple.
Oh, my God.
So good. You know, when they have those big, large decanters, basically, behind the bar, and they fill it up with vodka and pineapples, and then they just pour it out of the spigot, and it's all vodka, but it's pineapple-infused. That's tasty, and
dangerous.
That is dangerous.
My only trip to Capitol Grill, I was told by the waiter I've had enough bread.
No.
Yes.
But you got bread policed?
So I went to the one in Atlanta, which is in Buckhead, and I was actually with our old colleague, Jay Berman. We were down there for Giants Falcons. And that Saturday, we had quite the bender watching college football in the South all day. Alabama games out drinking. And it got to the point where we were very hungry, and we had drank from noon till like 8. We needed a late dinner. We happened to be walking up, and there's the Capitol Grill.
It's a great spot for a late night dinner.
Let's have a bottle of wine to cap the night and some steaks.
All right.
We went up, and I think we were a little too sloppy for that crowd. And the bread was very bready. Let's say, you know, the breaking
and
off.
And you're wearing an OCU Maniora jersey.
100%. Right. We're not dressed for the Capitol Grill, but they're allowing us in. But the crumbs are flying all over the place. And they must have brought us 4 baskets. I'm just lapping on the butter with bread. I'm like, more, please. More, please. I'm guzzling wine. I'm eating that. And it got to the point the waiter came over and looked around and just said, I think you've had enough bread.
Wow. Not enough booze. Keep drinking.
Right.
But stop.
I was
the bread.
Not.
You're
now I had
us.
The wherewithal to realize, you know what? I'm not going to argue back. I'm not going to pull a Schwartz in this spot. I see what's going on here. I'm going to shut up and have my filet.
You know, you people have been asking for baskets of bread for 4.5 hours now.
And then the waitress
and they
came
just don't want to clean the mess.
The
I mean, there's crumbs everywhere.
On me.
The white tablecloth, that all you see is bread crumbs everywhere.
That's great. Now, it is very interesting that Billy Jock toasted to working on the show today because I was planning to toast to Billy Jock today. Hey. Billy Jock helped me tape the Sunday morning football interviews every single week. And Connor Green is my executive producer of Sunday Morning Football, but he does not work on Thursdays, and oftentimes we tape the Sunday Morning Football long-form Sunday conversation with a former athlete, a former NFL Hall of Famer, usually on Thursday morning. So Billy is oftentimes here to help me wrangle this and set up the whole booth in there and make sure that the guy's on the phone. And I talked about this on the Twitch post game a couple of times. For some reason this year, we went like 6 of 7 weeks of being unable to get the guy on the phone at the time. Or the phone dropped, or he wasn't responding to text messages, or something happened. And Connor's not here to negotiate it. So Billy, I mean, working his tail off in there, trying to call, trying to get him up, pot him up. He's not there. Texting Connor, do we have the right phone number? What time is it? What's the time differential? Where does he live? Are we sure? Are we confirmed? Check the email. I mean, we have gone through this so many times. And every single week, Billy works his tail off, and finally gets it. There is a moment every week, Thursday at about like 10:26 a.m., where it seems all is lost. The guy is not picking up. We're not going to get it. We're screwed for the interview. Going to have to reschedule. And it's always like the lowest moment of the week. And Billy always somehow by 10:28 is then on the upswing. And we get him. We lock him in. And by 10:31, he's on and we're talking. And Billy's like, yeah, we got him. So Billy Giacalone's been my fighter co-pilot this entire season. And we've had great interviews. I mean, these guys have just opened up and told these great stories. Hollywood Henderson about his drug addiction. Jeff Hostetler about being overlooked by the Giants and then kind of booted out the door after the Super Bowl. Mike Haynes last week and trying to lock down the great offenses of the 80s. I mean, we've had great guys. This week, we're scheduled to have Icky Woods on the show as the Bengals have kind of popped up back again. So that should be awesome.
Hope you don't have to do an Icky shuffle with the guests this week.
Let's hope not. So, Billy, I know you and I are staring down the barrel of Icky not picking up the first five times we call him, and maybe this looking really low at some point, very dark at some point, but you've been my boy all season long, and I appreciate the effort.
Booski!
I am ready for the battle, as I told Connor.
It's incredible. It's like clockwork. Every single week it's been like this.
It's almost as if, D.A., they all get together and say, we'll just wait a couple minutes.
Yeah, exactly. One too many oopsies tweets at Food is Family. Where the hell is Bogish and Bilotti? Out all week? Bogish has been sick for all week, basically. And Bilotti's had a family situation. So, yeah, these guys have been out. So it's just been basically me and Mraz holding it down. But Caserta's been awesome the whole week. And we've had EJ in. We've had who else?
Oh, Jocelyn, because Pete was here the first 2 days.
Oh, right. Yeah. So Billy today and then Billy tomorrow?
Billy tomorrow. And we had Caserta on the PGP. Get Caserta listen.
Which was awesome. Yeah. PGP, check it out. Side B, Greg Caserta's on the Permission Granted podcast. Beat Rice tweets, I'm toasting to the 12 DAs. It's a tradition that I get excited for every year, and I'm very glad that the bit is being extended with holidays like tanks govern. Here's to 10 years of the show. Booskies! Yeah, we're kind of like bowl season. We just keep expanding the 12 DAs every year. Moist Pork says, Booskies to my mother-in-law for offering to take my girls to sleepover last Wednesday so that my wife and I can go to a wedding and not have to worry about a babysitter. Hashtag Thirsty Thursday.
Booskies!
Sean is toasting to Mizzou Hoops being 8-0 to start the season.
Booskies!
Big Lar is toasting to the show. Pretty mother bleeping awesome this week in the PGP. Caserta was amazing. EJ was awesome. And you two always great. Thanks a lot, guys, for the entertainment. Love to all. Hashtag power. Power.
Booskies!
Squishy Liquid is toasting to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, who's playing clips in between commercial breaks on YouTube. The focus on your Let's Ride short-circuiting Monday inspired me to make it my new ringtone. Hashtag Let's Ride.
Booskies.
Hashtag Lira. Yeah, that's how Russell Wilson says it. It's hashtag Lira. Ostrich Eyes says, I'm toasting to this year's 12 DAs. I'm looking forward to this all season long. And this year, you guys have your work cut out for you. Congrats on an amazing year. Cheers, hashtag power, power.
Booskies.
Dixieland Dance toasting the casinos. Me and my wife are headed there for her birthday tonight. Going to hit up the blackjack table in the bar. Maybe we can win enough to give every D-Alien $500 and Gelb $5,000 to give up his pick spot to Pat Boyle. Hashtag Dan the Scientist.
Booskies.
As I thought, Dixieland Dan was a scientist. I'm like, oh, I think he's a scientist. Mraz goes, I think he works in an auto body shop. Okay, I was a little bit off. Science of automobile work is still a science, is it not? More toasts coming your way throughout the morning. I just saw this tweet from you, Greg Caserta, from last night. Is that your three-legged cat, Pee-wee?
Yeah, that's Pee-wee.
You have a three-legged cat named Pee-wee.
Yeah, so my fiance is a licensed vet tech, so at her animal hospital, they always get rescues to come in. And we got Pee-wee when she was a couple of weeks old, and she had a fractured back right leg. And when kittens are that small, the bones are so tiny that they can't really fuse them together, so they just whack it off. There's your drop. I realized as I said it. So we've had her, and for her whole life, she's been missing the back right leg, and animals are great because they just go about their business. She can sprint. She can jump on almost everything. Like, she doesn't get up on the kitchen counter, but she climbs the couches. She's amazing.
Wow.
And
she's beautiful. She's
gorgeous. And very territorial. Like, we've tried bringing in other kittens, and she gets nasty.
Really?
She's the sweetest thing in the world, but it's me and Erin. Like, that's her family. That's her spot. And when we try bringing in other cats, she will not have it.
Is she just indoor or both indoor and outdoor?
Hates outside. We try bringing her outside and hates it.
And what do you do when you bring her outside? Is she on a little leash or?
No, we have like a little carrier, like a screen thing. Mm-hmm. And when we've been out in the summer, like if we're out having a beer, you know, whatever, we've tried including her in the fun. And she just, the whole time. Just not digging it.
And so you said she likes warm floorboards.
Yes, we have heated floors. So she sleeps in bed with us every night, but we see less and less of her now because you saw the picture. She curls up in the Amazon box. It's like a little cat hotel for her, and she couldn't be happier.
How awesome is that?
That's cool.
My girl,
yeah,
man.
Cat's running the picture right now because she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is like a cat hotel. That's great.
It's a box that's tipped over on its side, so it has kind of like a high ceiling, if you will.
Yeah, and the way Erin orders Amazon packages, there's always fresh boxes, so there's plenty of space.
And so Pee-wee, the three-legged cat,
is
laying on the floor of the cat hotel.
Yeah, I barely saw her last night. Even at one point, I was in bed. I was doing some work on the computer, and I'll cheat. I'll occasionally grab her and throw her up in bed. Didn't stay. Went right back to the kitchen.
I'll cheat. You want her in bed with you.
Yeah.
That's really
cool.
And
she's been greeting me every morning when I get up. I get up about 4:30, and she knows this week, like, hey, Dad's up. She gets the treats in the morning when I leave the house. Like, she's got it. She's got it made.
Wow.
It's a good life.
That's pretty cool.
A good life.
The biggest question, though, is how much is that Trenton Thunder money with the heated floors, though, huh?
So we live in the downstairs of a mother-daughter house.
Okay.
So our landlords, we do live in a nice place, but it's a small little apartment, which is why I never do updates remotely because my voice projects. So we're in a really good spot, but it's obviously not our forever place.
Does Pee-wee have zoomies at night?
She does sometimes.
Okay.
Like, if she sees an animal outside, she goes nuts.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, there are times when we'll hear her in the middle of the night, as you know with cats, they'll just, at 3-4 in the morning, they decide, hey, now it's time to play.
Yes.
Not like when we first get home at 5 or 6. No. It's like, no, everybody's asleep. Now we got to start making noise.
Last night, the Bourbon Belle and I went to bed around 10 o'clock, 10:15 or so. And at approximately 11 o'clock, maybe midnight, we both woke up because Rosie the cat is going crazy, running laps downstairs.
Oh.
Racing between one end of the house and the other end. What are you running for here? There's nothing going on. There's nothing going on.
Fired up for the 5 a.m. World Cup kick.
There's no sound. It's pitch black out. Nothing's going on. And here she is running laps back and forth, back and forth.
I love it.
Like she's Antonio Brown working out.
Need to get her a weighted blanket.
Yeah, perhaps.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Somebody screwed me here!
Who can trust you?
Somebody screwed me! I look like a fool now! I don't want to look like a fool!
Me neither.
He hit it higher than the kids on HBO's Euphoria!
What evidence do you have that you have the stick handling, skating ability, balance, speed, or agility of Pavel Bure? What evidence?
I don't have evidence.
Okay.
Why are we not focused on that? Instead, what power sounds like? Why am I doing this? Why am I typing a script like this?
I don't like that he's quiet. You and I could describe the pain the last time. He can't even bring himself to talk right now.
He just keeps saying it's hot. May the 14th. It's the first of the first four out. Mraz does Canadian bacon, and the oink grading is tough yet again. Here it is, the first of the 12 DAs of Christmas.
That call courtesy of the Lightning Radio Network. Yes, the Lightning special teams were a major story
They've got the power, power. Dun, 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 dun. They got the power, power. Ross Geller Colton scored the fourth goal of the night, and Tampa Bay wins 4-1 to take a 1-0 series lead.
I know that one.
Why did you sing the echo?
That was a bad choice,
Aaron Carter or Justin Timberlake. I understand what I am. What I am is a Frito-eating fat slob from Long Island. What I'm not is a pop sensation. When you want me singing, you're going to get Frito slob from Long Island singing power. And you like it or you take it. Don't grade me down because, I didn't understand the song. Come on.
They got the power. Power.
I mean, that's not the same song. It's not even close. The only insult is you insulting Snap.
It is close.
If any of them are still around, they're pissed this morning.
I am not Snap. I have never been talented enough to be in Snap.
Pop, nothing.
I'm Canadian bacon. I'm the oink guy.
Oh, Pete's the oink guy.
That's right.
Give me a damn full oink.
How can you defend saying in the middle of a script of highlights, being the guy that delivers the news on the hockey highlights? What night is tonight? What's tomorrow?
I agree. That's why it wasn't a five-oinker. That was not a five-oinker because I screwed that up. You think I'm not punishing myself because I screwed that up? But the writing was good other than that. I just misread it. I'm not asking for five freaking oinks here. What I'm asking for is a little bit of respect on some of the actual writing I got right.
Okay.
All right. Well, what do you score that yourself?
He scored it at 4.
I think that was a 4-oinker because I think the jokes were great. I think I packed a lot in there. And I think you guys overemphasize the negative and don't uplift the positive. I mean, geez, D.A., you even admitted you missed the Duclair. Anthony Duclair to 1-0 lead.
I missed that.
You miss it. Why are we not focused on that instead? What power sounds like? Why am I doing this? If it's going to come down to one stupid song or one stupid joke, why even do the little details? Why am I typing a script like this?
Power,
why am I doing
power.
This in the morning? Why? I might as well just pick a song and go, you know what? Either they're going to like the song or they're not. And that's how many freaking likes I'm going to get.
Power.
You totally missed the other good stuff. It's you're a class half-empty jerk. Dun, 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 dun. Sitting there all day. Mother-in-law's over. Won't talk to her. Won't talk to my wife because I need my voice for Canadian Big. I got to sing, honey. Then I sing. That sounds nothing like it. Yeah, no crap. I'm not in sync. They've got the power. Freaking losers.
The first of the first four out, if this is any indication, this is going to be an amazing 12 DAs. This typified the insanity to which Mraz drove himself into and Pete helped guide him into based on the oinks of Canadian bacon. Mraz doing the hockey playoff highlights and having to wait on the grade of Pete was just so torturous for Mraz. And some of the quotes are just really gold. Number one, why am I even doing this? As though there's a question about the meaning of life in all of this. Trying to earn oinks as a grade. What I'm not is a pop sensation. That's a great quote from Mraz as well. Quote, I think the jokes were great. Were they? Were they? Mraz yelping, give me a damn full oink. Give me a damn full oink. And Bogus's incredible retort. I don't know if any of Snap is still around, but if they are, they're pissed. Snap saying, power, power. That was the perfect encapsulation of the insanity of Canadian bacon.
It was, and you could hear there were a lot of late nights and beers drank for a Ranger deep run. The Rangers had played every other night, and I was watching all the hockey playoff games, and I was into it, watching my own team play. And by then, mid-May, my voice is deteriorating. I'm on no sleep, and I feel like I'm pouring my heart and soul into this, and I was so aggravated with you guys were never consistent on what you wanted for a good oink. I would put my focus in on something else. You'd kill me for the song. That was a really dark period this year. When I look back on this year in the DA show, it felt fun in the moment, but looking back, it was really dark and strenuous.
It was torturous for you, but it was great entertainment for all of us. And you can't tell the story of this year without the heightened craze of the grading of Canadian bacon. In fact, you could argue top five most important things that happened this year was how pressurized and how ratcheted up every Canadian bacon's grading became.
And it just kept getting more and more where, all right, we started it, and then every week I was looking forward to it more and more to see what would happen. It became a great soap opera. Enter Pat Boyle. When Bilotti asked me to fill in the one time and do Canadian bacon, I was nervous. I wanted to do a good job. But I also knew, I felt like Shawn Michaels retiring Ric Flair. Because when they played the music and the joiner, I shuffle my papers and he's over there going, "You got to be kidding me." I felt like I betrayed him. And that's what made it so much sweeter.
It had all of the trimmings of a great radio bit because it was insanity. Well, it was absurdity that became way too important.
Right.
It was so utterly unimportant, but became so important. And listeners, that deserves 5 oinks. You guys are screwing Mraz. No, Mraz is mailing it in. He didn't sing that song well. That's 3.5 oinks. Bilotti's pulling the puppeteer strings behind the scenes.
He never felt more important. Shocking. Never a day off then.
Getting in your head. I mean, he was screwing you. And then Pat Boyle comes in as the knight in shining armor to deliver the first ever perfect Canadian bacon.
While I was out, which was purposely needling me while I was off, there was a lot of politicking that went on. And honestly, you look back at pretty much May. Let's call it May. Nothing we did on the show for 4 hours mattered except for Canadian bacon to the audience. Like, that was everybody. Doesn't matter. Just let me know when Canadian bacon is and what are the oinks going to be.
There was one point when I was doing the show from the home studios during this run, and I had built up the Canadian bacon, the history of the recent efforts in grading, and that you were coming up here, and could you finally attain the what do we call it?
It became impossible, but
yeah,
not the unattainable something.
The
mythological, mythical?
The mythical 5 oinks.
Yes.
The mythical 5 oinks. And at one point, we went to commercial break, and the Bourbon Belle poked her head in the studio and said, "You got to turn down the pressure on this. This is getting too much." Because we had built it into such a gargantuan moment of, could you deliver? What will be the grading? And it was so intense, and that it just, how could it keep up? Because it just kept getting more and more intense, and then you finally psychotically broke.
I did. Boy, I really feel like I'm in a better mental place when I'm not doing Canadian
bacon. You sound like a different person.
I am.
So much more subdued.
I'm at peace right now.
The first of the first four out of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Power, power. All of the 12 DAs will be available on YouTube and in podcast form. So you can always relive all of them as the countdown begins today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, Greg Caserta is going to come back with headlines later on in the hour, but a very special treat at the top of this hour. Let's get Stunned to a News.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is Stunned to a News.
DA, I got to tip my cap to Mraz for this one. He sent this my way this morning. Oh. And normally I get a lot of stuff from Florida and Texas and things are pretty crazy. This I liked because I think everybody would have an opinion on it. Caroline Dudridge, 63, is charging everyone for Christmas dinner, including her young grandkids.
Oh, no, no.
Let's, all right, keep going here. The mom of 5 and grandma of 6 is charging adults up to $18 for the meal. Her 12-year-old and 3 9-year-old grandchildren have to pony up about $6. And her 2 3-year-old grandchildren are being charged $3. She charges the adult women less because they have families and work part-time. Huh. The ones who don't pay up get uninvited to the Dudridge family dinner. Dudridge started charging in 2016 and has since become part of the family's traditions, and immediate relatives are used to it by now. She said that she spends dozens of hours scouting grocery stores for the cheapest and best deals, especially with groceries skyrocketing this year. She said, "Every week my meal budget buys less and less, so I have to be tactical in buying ingredients to make the dinner for my 12 guests. Dudridge receives about $1,200 a month in widower's pension since her husband passed away in 2015. I know many people will criticize charging for the Christmas meal, but I'm not bothered. It's not money grabbing. It just makes budgeting sense and spreads the cost fairly between everyone at the table." While the grandma does love Christmas, and this is where she kind of wrote me in, she finds the cost and drama of the holiday exhausting and wishes it only happened twice a decade. So the more I read this, the more I kind of got in her corner on this one.
She's a UK grandma. She's in England. And I don't know. Yeah, at first you're like, how can you possibly charge your guests? But then you see pictures of her dinner, and it's really extravagant. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe she should cut down to, like, the decor, because there's decorated table settings and chairs and that whole song and dance. But I mean, she makes a valid point here, although I don't think you can charge the 3-year-olds.
Yeah. Look, so I understand the fixed income and I understand the prices. I get all of that. I mean, how about you just have a discussion with your family and say, okay, I'm going to make like this. You're going to make this side dish. Like, we have all gone to potluck holidays where you're always bringing something. I can't imagine being told, don't bring a side of potatoes. Just give me 18 bucks. It just comes across as nervy.
Yeah, you and I talked about that. Basically, yeah, when you've gone to a party, it's like, all right, I'll bring, if let's say there's a dozen people, I'll bring shrimp cocktail on Christmas Eve. I'll bring the fruit salad. Okay, that is way over $18. You're probably spending closer to $50 or $60 at that point.
Well, let's say shrimp cocktail, it might be $20.
But if you're buying for 12, or maybe you have a bigger party.
Oh, okay, maybe 2 shrimp cocktails.
That's the point. If this comes down to the family was just really bad about bringing stuff, then I think you need to have that conversation, not just go...
Unless you don't want to trust them with those decisions.
I guess, but could you imagine dating into this family? It's like, yeah, we're going to grandma's for Christmas. The only thing is, make sure you have 18 bucks or she's not going to let you go
in. Or, we're going to grandma's for Christmas. Don't worry, I have you covered.
Yeah, exactly. What? What?
Yeah, your first holiday with the family, it's like, bring a C note for grandma. And just slip it in the pocket there.
What do we think about her claim that she wishes it was only once every 5 years?
Well, to me, you know what? Once you've made that announcement, and I know I've already charged, you're out on hosting Christmas. How about that? Somebody, you know, you talked about now maybe putting Christmas up for auction. If she's that much of a Grinch to be going, and I feel bad, whatever. You know what? I don't feel bad. You're charging your grandkids, 3 years old, $3. Take a lap, Grandma.
Well, you changed course on that one.
You know, because I'm trying to be nice. I get it. The fixed budget. But you know what? Screw you.
Screw you, Grandma.
I don't need your goose. I don't need your stuffing. I'm not paying $18. You either like my yodels and Pepsi that I bring, or you take a lap.
I don't like your goose. I don't need your Doritos. Take a hike.
Just get lost. There's no way you pay $18 to eat at a relative's house and feel satisfied. You know what I mean? Like mentally. I'm not eating at a restaurant. There's no way mentally I feel satisfied with that meal.
$18 does seem a little light for what, like, what would you be getting for $18?
Well, what's the price that you would feel good about? $10?
I get, but here's the thing now. Am I expected to get up and wash a dish after?
No.
But again, it depends.
No, you just got to dump it in the cookie jar, $10 upon enter.
But then I feel like I'm looking too cheap. And by charging 18, that's also nervy because she knows everybody's going to give a 20.
I think it depends on the spread. What are we having for dinner? Like my family, Christmas Eve, it's all right. Full Italian antipasto. Then you have, let's say, 4 of the 7 fishes. maybe there's a prime rib. Maybe there's a gelb lasagna. If there's a big spread, I'd be willing to spend a little bit. But $18 is like, and it's, we're talking about English cooking. Like, what, it's also not the best cuisine either.
That's true as well.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
To stay warm this winter, which would you rather have? Meraz's weighted blanket or Greg Caserta's heated floorboards? 65% of you say floorboards. The data tells us that the one downside to a weighted blanket is that Meraz once ripped it off so fast to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, he hit his dog hard enough that the dog yelped. Not cool, man. Not cool.
Poor Eli.
Eli yelped.
Yeah, it was like, wee! And I realized because it was such a heavy blanket that when I ripped it off the run, he was just laying next to me and it whacked him. You got to be careful.
You got to be careful. This Thursday night football preview sponsored by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Patriots hosting the Bills, trying to bounce back from that 33-26 loss of the Vikings on Thanksgiving. Buffalo looking to win its third straight game. Third straight road game, remember. They were in Detroit against the Browns, in Detroit against the Lions, and now will be on the road at Foxborough tonight. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Meraz told us a story of being out to eat at the Capitol Grill in Atlanta, and they said, hey, buddy, cut it out with the free bread. Here's your fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
We had quite the bender watching college football in the South all day. Alabama games out drinking. And it got to the point where we were very hungry and we had drank from noon till like 8. We needed a late dinner. We happened to be walking up and there's the Capitol Grill.
It's a great spot for a late night dinner.
Let's have a bottle of wine to cap the night and some steaks.
All right.
We went up and I think we were a little too sloppy for that crowd. And the bread was very bready.
It's the bread.
Let's say, you know, the breaking
and
off.
You're wearing an OCU Manure jersey.
100%, right. We're not dressed for the Capitol Grill, but they're allowing us in. But the crumbs are flying all over the place.
There's something about the bread in those Shake Shack hamburgers. I can't figure out what they do to the bread.
And they must have brought us 4 baskets. I'm just lapping on the butter with bread. No. I'm like, more, please, more, please. No. I'm guzzling wine. I'm eating that.
But the bread is outrageous.
And it got to the point the waiter came over and looked around and just said, I think you've had enough bread.
Wow. Not enough booze. Keep drinking.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's the bread.
But stop with
the bread.
I had
the wherewithal to realize, you know what? I'm not going to argue back. I'm not going to pull a Schwartz in this spot. I see what's going on here. I'm going to shut up and have my filet.
You know, you people have been asking for baskets of bread for 4.5 hours now.
The bread is just incredibly good.
And then the waitress
and they just don't want to clean the mess. I mean, there's crumbs everywhere.
On me.
The white tablecloth, and all you see is bread crumbs everywhere.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Today is also a thirsty Thursday, so we are taking your toast to the good stuff. Ragnar Razorback, DA, toasting fellow Brooklyn Nets fans this morning. Billy Jock is one of those.
Booski!
Over the last couple of years, it's been a literal dumpster fire. And as a fan that lives in Arkansas, I mean, what can I really do but agree? Don't look now, but we're over 500. Just saying, it feels nice. Hashtag thank you, Rose Bowl. Just want to get that in there. Ed tweets, boy, DA, I want to tweet you every day and rip your Rams takes, but honestly, I can't. Because you're right. The season's a disaster, but just keep that same energy when the team is good again. Old takes exposed can come from me, but the Rams won't be down for long. You see, Ed, I love you, man, because I think about you when I rip the Rams. He's the biggest Rams fan, and he took me to task last year as the Rams went to the Super Bowl and won it, obviously. But he's a gentleman. He still listens to the show. He's got to come correct now and be honest because it's been so bad. But I love you, Ed, because I got no problem with the passion of the fan as long as when you're proven incorrect, you're like, yeah, you know what? You got me. Because I do that. You hear me quite often go, man, you know, I was wrong. You got me. Lewis in Palmdale says, boy, I was really confused this morning when I woke up early in Los Angeles, fire up the Odyssey app, and hear 2005 sad Diego Chargers talk. Lee in San Diego taking Uncle Rico's time machine? Yeah, Lee in California randomly wanted to talk about the 05 Patriots playoff game against the Chargers. Okay. Upside Down Mike says, I still love the power meltdown by Mraz today for the 12 DAs for the simple fact that Pete the Body just keeps hammering the soundbite of Mraz singing. Power. And Ragnar says, the best part of it is when Bogus says, Pete is the oink man. And Pete responds, that's right. Pete loves being the oink man. Loves it. Can't get enough of it. Mac and Bear from Delaware. D.A. Bingo. Booskies to Tyler Adams. A powerful counterpunch to take the ignorance of that reporter and made it into a positive response. And Greg Caserta, God bless Pee-wee, the three-legged cat. Amazing story. Yeah, no doubt. We learned that Greg Caserta has a three-legged cat named Pee-wee that's his heart and soul and pride and joy. And that's amazing. How do we not know this? By the way, it should be noted that Dixieland Dan and Zach Gelb, who have had quite a rivalry over the course of this football season, seem to be making up over Twitter today, talking about gambling and Dixieland Dan's wife's birthday.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. You know, all good things come to an end.
So we might be getting there with those two parties. I mean, they're like the Hatfields and the McCoys. And Steven Severna Park is toasting micro booskies. I'm like a kid in a candy store with all these clever labels with tasty goodness inside. Cheers to all types of booskies. Indeed, my friend. Indeed.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
All right. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Billy Ragolo on the Wheels of Steel did an amazing job through a perfect game, I believe. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, Greg Caserta on headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm DA, and the Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.